I'm very happy now to welcome Jeff Summerall. He is the writer, producer, and director of the film To My Great Chagrin, the unbelievable story of Brother Theodore, which is filming as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell us, who was this unbelievable character, Brother Theodore?
Well, initially to me, he was a character that appeared on TV talk shows for maybe 3 to 5 minute segments and was very unusual and invigorating and always a bit offsetting, but people were laughing, so it seemed to be okay. It was like it was sort of safe. And that was probably in my late teens and later when I would see him periodically on TV. So that's who he was originally to me, a character, a humorous, strange character on TV. And then later, of course, found out much more about him and realized he had a very, very rich personal history as well as a performing history. We were only seeing the tip of the iceberg on the television appearances.
He was born into an Austrian family before World War II, really, 1906, I think. And if World War II hadn't happened, would have been one of the wealthiest men in the world. Instead, ended up destitute in the United States, barely having escaped World War II with his life.
Yeah, that's what eventually came out the few nights that I got to meet with him, and just became more and more. In fact, as I was getting bits and pieces of these stories, the portion you just mentioned, and then that his family was best friends with Albert Einstein, and then he became best friends with Orson Welles, and they had, you know, his family had $30 million empire. A friend of mine said, hey, maybe he's a pathological liar. And I almost thought, well, actually, that would make the documentary even more fascinating. But he wasn't. It was all true, which, of course, makes it that unbelievable story. Yeah.
How did you decide to make a documentary about him?
It really decided on me. I just by happenstance, was left a movie one afternoon in New York and was walking down the street and came upon this very modest, bohemian, cozy-looking theater. And I got the notion that maybe I'd be able to actually afford to rent it or maybe barter with him and do a solo show that I used to do. So when I went in to ask about the rates and to see the space, they were very nice and happened to mention that, oh, Brother Theodore did his show here for 17 years, and I said, oh, what a character he was, and they said, well, he still is. He's 92, and then as I was leaving, for some reason, I said, oh, please, if you see Brother Theodore, tell him he has fans in South Carolina, which is where I'm from, and I said, if he ever needs a documentary made about him, you know, give me a call. And 2 weeks later, I got a call, and I had actually forgotten about it, and so thought, well, I should at least see how far this would go. I kept thinking, you know, certainly a door is going to close any time now. They said, you know, you have to meet him. He has to, like you or at least get along with you or, you know, prove. And instead of doors closing, they kept opening. So it took about, 6 years to make the film, but to qualify that, it's, there was maybe just 2 or 3 weeks out of each year because I would just, one interview would slowly lead to another. And for those first 2 or 3 years, I wasn't really sure if I was making a documentary because, again, it was very delicate just as the, you know, is there enough information here, enough archival footage or validation of these stories? And fortunately, we stuck with it. And, there were so many people that were so supportive and that came forth with their memories of Theodore and were supportive of the whole project.
I mean, I think that the thing that people need to know is that you saw him on some talk shows on TV, but he spent many years of his life doing these unbelievable, almost sort of madman, crazy one-man performances, and had a cult following, although I guess he never really made it into the mainstream, and one isn't surprised seeing this footage that he didn't make it into the mainstream. But he was just an incredible performer, and his work, I think he broke ground in the kind of performance that probably many of us have seen, where you're not quite sure whether the person you're seeing is a character or whether it's really the man who is on stage before you.
Yeah, that's a good observation, and that's similar to what Penn Jillette said of Penn and Teller. He said they would go see Theodore several times and said he was one of the most influential performers on their show, which I thought was really interesting. And he said, Theodore, you didn't get a sense of, well, is this a character? And he said he was probably the truest performer he ever saw, because he suddenly realized, oh, this isn't made up. He is Austrian-German, and he does have all this angst, and this is his way of thinking and believing and living. So and I think you're right. He never was in the mainstream, and that's what started drawing me a little further into the project bit by bit, was when I would find out, oh, Penn and Teller used to go see him, and then further back than that, Lenny Bruce and James Dean and Marlon Brando, and so I became really curious, like, why were these people going to see Theodore, and isn't it fair that we know about him?
I think the editing of the film, the way you chose to make the documentary, is amazing, because it's all about Theodore. So all of these famous, you know, Penn and Teller and Woody Allen and Eric Bogosian commentators are heard throughout the film, but they're never seen. It's not one of those documentaries where you see somebody beautifully lit against a dark background talking about this person with a little caption of who they are under their name. You never even name them. They are just background, and foreground is Brother Theodore himself, a lot of archival footage, newspaper clippings, photographs, and everything else. That's quite an interesting set of choices that you made in making this documentary.
Well, and they weren't whimsical or done just on the spur of the moment. We definitely thought about it, and it did have a rough cut showing the interviews, and something about it just seemed to be distracting to me. And also, we were cutting very quickly between these interviews, and I realized, and Jeter Rhodes, the editor, we started deliberating about it, and just felt like, let's open ourselves up here. Let's just edit this just for the audio to tell the story, because that's really what ultimately any film, documentary or narrative, it's about the storytelling, and rather than trying to stay longer shot on the Cavett or Eric Bogosian or Woody Allen, like, let's tell the story the way it needs to be told. And then when it was so quick, I just thought, well, you know what, this seems to play better not seeing them. That was one of the reasons. And then And I did some test screenings with just some informally with some colleagues and friends to see what their reaction was going to be. And most of them are very honest with me and straightforward. And a couple said, yeah, after the first 5 minutes, they kept thinking, okay, surely we're going to see these people. And they were getting a little bit, maybe not annoyed, but like, okay, come on, getting impatient. And then they realized, okay, we're not going to see them, and that's fitting. And several of them were saying, yes, that was probably they felt like was the right choice. And also, I just thought it was distracting in the sense that when you see a celebrity, you can't help but be reminded of what they do, what they've done, and or maybe the most recent thing written about them in even a gossip magazine. So it just sort of distracts. And then another reason was I wanted to level the playing field of the comments made by the so-called non-celebrities, his friends and his family. I wanted all the comments to be equally valid and significant. So that was also a factor in making the decision. And I just also, it just seemed to be that, Theodore had always wanted to be the star of his own movie. So on even lower down on the list was, okay, finally he is the only person in this movie, and But it wasn't a, like I said, it wasn't a real quick decision. I definitely thought about it. It just seemed to be fitting for that subject. Another subject for a documentary, yeah, would absolutely show the interviewees. But for this one, it seemed to be the right choice. And it's not for everybody. Some people, they want to see those people. But Theodore was very non-traditional, so we thought this would work best for him.
Well, I loved it. I mean, it reminded me how, with a lot of documentaries, the medium is the message. You see documentaries, and their forms are so similar to each other. There's a kind of a set of documentary boilerplates, almost. And this cuts out of that in a way that is so, it's unusual, but above all, it's very loving and respectful toward the central character in the film, namely this brother Theodore.
Yeah, and speaking of, that was the main thing. My concern was I'm not going to serve Theodore well, and I knew he had all these fans, and I thought that was my biggest concern, and that was another reason for making that choice. I don't want to talk down, so to speak, to his audience, to his fans. Like they're really keen people, obviously. I mean, you just sort of, and they're unique, and it just seems to go with the territory. If you like Theodore, you're just going to be of a certain like-mindedness, and this is the way it has to be, because if we do a traditional documentary, they'll be outraged, you know. I mean, I thought I would be, so I just kept putting myself in the audience seat. What would I think if I saw this? And it wasn't really till a screening in Los Angeles in August that I finally saw the movie as an audience member. It was only maybe in 15 or 20 second segments, but it was a fantastic experience. I didn't expect it at all, because the audience was so caught up with it and laughing so much that I, for a few seconds here and there, forgot that I was involved in the film. So, wow, this, look at Theodore. Yeah, he is very entertaining. This is okay.
He's a fantastic character. I'd never heard of him until this film, so it's really worth seeing for those who had never heard of him, which is probably most of our audience. What was it like to be with him toward the very end of his life?
It was rewarding in the sense I really just felt like I was someone there to visit someone in the latter days of their life. Several people said, several people have tried to make a documentary and you're the first to do it. And I said, no, that's really not it. This is a 92-year-old man living by himself, and a lot of his friends are probably battle-worn because they've, you know, been supporting them for years and years, and I'm sort of a, you know, fresh face, and I'm listening, and I'm all excited about these stories. But it was very sweet and touching, and you know, a little bit here and there annoying because he could be cantankerous. But it was very entertaining, and I just felt just really privileged to be there and talking to him, and having the opportunity to meet him, and you know, with the idea of, well, maybe we'll actually, you know, document his life. I mean, his girlfriend at the time, she later said, you know, in some ways, it's a good thing he died, because he would have sabotaged this. He would have eventually said, no, we're not going to make it, because he always seemed to be ready to do that when something was close to being completed, or something maybe good happening. Maybe he didn't think he deserved it.
Right. Jeff Summerall is the writer, producer, and director of the film To My Great Chagrin, The Unbelievable Story of Brother Theodore, which screens this Thursday at 7:30 in the evening at the Jean Cocteau Theater. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
And once again, all this week, we're talking to filmmakers and producers about films from the Santa Fe Film Festival. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR is streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Thanks to Sean Conlon for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Jazz Experience.